Welcome to the Barbell Coach and Physio, diving deep into all things powerlifting, strength, and rehab. Your hosts are Matthew Burton from River City Barbell and Laura Fox from Fox Physiotherapy and Strength Rehab.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Barbell Coach and Physio. Co-host here, Matt. This week's episode, I had on my other coach, Dean Thompson. Dean started coaching for me about 6 months ago. He's been an athlete of mine for about 18 months now. Today, we wanted to talk a little bit about bench press and just like our own experiences in bench press and how the things that we've implemented in the last 18 months have helped us. This goes alongside with a few things that we're doing at River City at the moment to help other people with, give them some content about bench press. So I've wrote an ebook. I've also made a bunch of videos to help you guys understand how I improve my bench press, as well as articles. So over the coming weeks, we are going to be releasing, myself and Dean, a bunch of information and content to help you guys with your bench press based off of our experience and what helped us increase our bench press the last 18 months. So hope you guys enjoy this episode, and I hope that you guys are having a great week. Check out our sponsors, Cyborg, the best protein on the market. If you look in the show notes, there's also some code so you can get a cheaper stuff. Same as 5 Active, actually drinking on the cola right now. It's the best drink ever. They sent me some out this week and it's really good. I'm loving the cola and just sipping away. It keeps me get through my day, it helps me focus, gives me more energy, and I don't crash. So if you guys are interested in that, just check out the show notes and we have a code down there for that as well. Hope you guys enjoy the episode. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Barbell Coach and Physio. This week on the podcast, I have my other coach, Dean. So Dean has been with me for coaching now for about probably 2 years or almost a year, 18 months or so.
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah, 18 months, yeah. Little, yeah. Year and a half, yeah. Been a little while now, working together.
Dean's been with me about that long now, and then he came on as a coach, did some mentorships, and then I mentored him, and now he's part of a team at River City, alongside of Zoe as well, doing our nutrition. So do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself, Dean, like where you've come from, your background in sports as a kid, and how you got into powerlifting, and what got you to this point now?
Yes, sweet. Growing up, boys played footy. I started footy much until I was 6, started playing all the way to about 14, halfway through high school, stopped playing footy, then started hanging out at the skate park, skating and that. So like fitness levels dropped. Then around 18, after I finished school, one of the boys that I was working with was like, oh, you want to start coming to the gym with me? I was like, yeah. So I go on gym a little bit on and off for maybe about 2 years. No consistency in it, just like going, you know, getting a pump and that with the boys. And around about three years ago, found out about powerlifting, joined the local powerlifting gym, and I got my first coach. And we trained for a little bit together. Done my first powerlifting comp, totaled like 500 kilos, something like that. It wasn't much. And then all that COVID stuff happened, lockdowns. So I didn't train again for like the whole year. And yeah, 18 months ago, jumped on with Maddie, and we've been together for 18 months. We've done three comps together, put over 100 kilos on our total. Total is now 662, I think. So yeah, pretty decent.
Yeah, you've done pretty well in the last 18 months. We've had some like ups and downs and a few things we've had to come over, whether it be like common issues like we went through with like some low bar squat issues with the shoulders and stuff. And then you've also like you went into nationals last year, GPC nationals, and had a bit of a mishap to the begin your day. You're like, and I think looking back on it now, like a lot of people I've spoken to, those are they the cobra mono?
Yeah, the forward facing cobra mono. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people say the same thing about that. Like they unrack it and then next minute you feel like you're so unsafe because there's nothing around you. And yeah, so like you obviously,
yeah, it's really weird how, yeah.
Yeah, so like whereas like it, not that when you're facing the mono forwards that it does anything for you, but you kind of feel a bit more secure because there's a bit of a like something around you.
Yeah,
yeah, obviously went into that comp and like you only got your first opener, I think it was 2:30, and then like you missed the last two, but then you made a big comeback and smashed bench and smashed deadlift. So that was, I think that was a pivoting moment for you to see a few things in your own personal training and your own progress as a powerlifter, because I think you'd had a really good run since day one. But prior to that, like we'd done two competitions prior to that, didn't we?
No, we did states.
Yeah, states. And then, you had a really, really good trot at states. You went 9 for 9. And then we went to nationals. And I think, like, I'll be completely honest with you, and it was like a bit of ego in there as well, like with your own personal, like, ego. I think, like, being a young lifter as well and being like, oh, fuck yeah. Just want to, like, and everyone goes through it. I've been through it myself. You went through and just, like, you had this mentality that, like, everything was going to happen perfectly and you're going to smash it, and then it kind of caught up on you a little bit. But then, in to say that, we did another competition at the end of last year and you absolutely fucking annihilated it. So you came back again for your third comp for the year just to kind of finish off the year so you could get into something next year over here in APL. And you absolutely smashed it, bro. You fucking killed it. What did you? You went 250 squat. What else did you? You went 250 squat, 142 bench?
Yeah, 147.
140, oh, yeah, 147 bench?
Yeah, 142.
Yeah, 142 bench, and then you deadlifted.
Yeah, no, what was it? Yeah, 255 squat, 147 bench, and then 260 dead.
Yeah, yeah, so you hit PRs on everything, which was great, and you come back and smash that total. So, like, at the end of the day, like, we came back and you kind of checked yourself a little bit before that comp at the end of the year as well, and you didn't let your ego take over, you know what I mean?
Like, a little bit.
Like, there's a difference between allowing an ego to kind of help you within your training and help you, like, push forward in comp day, but then, like, kind of being egotistic and, like, just kind of allowing it to kind of more dominate who you are, or, like, as you're training, like, it just get, I like to put it as a bit more cockiness. Like, people get a bit cocky and then they expect the best out of their, like, everything, and then they don't have, like, I personally, as a coach and a lifter, like, as the years are going on, I'm very optimistic. Like, so when people ask me what numbers are you going to hit at comp, I'll just be like, whatever numbers I hit. I don't talk like, I'm going to hit this, I'm going to hit that, because at the end of the day, like, if I tell people that I'm only going to do this, or I don't tell people what I'm going to do, then they don't expect anything from me but that, you know. And so I think it's a lot, that was a real good learning curve for you to take into this year. Yeah, yeah, oh, less expectations from you. But I think that also it was a big learning curve.
Yeah, I learned heaps. So, yeah, even coming into that prep, like the prep between the Nationals and Christmas Cup, like I was more level-headed, taking what was there on the day in training as well. Whereas the prep before, I was pushing it a lot more.
Yeah.
But yeah, and yeah, especially at Nationals, like missing those spots, like the mental to come back, and finish the rest of the comp. So, you know, I only got my opener and then second and third squat missed. Like in my head, I was like, oh, that's it. Like, I'm done. I went at the back, had my little tantrum and had some, got into my head, talked to myself and started warming up. I was like, did everything else now?
So when it comes to competing, like, for yourself, like, you learn a lot last year and what you're going to do. So what are your plans are moving forward in the next 12 months?
For competing?
Yeah, just competing and just in, like, general, like, building. Because I know one of the things you learned too, like, when you were one of my clients who are obsessed with, like, cutting weight, and you know my opinion on that. A lot of people know my opinion on that as well. But your body wanted to sit in the 90-kilo weight class. So, like, you've now realized that you're stronger in that weight class, so you've moved up.
My body, desperately wanted to get 90. I kept, forcing 82 by doing, cuts for comp. But, since last comp, Christmas comp, down at 90. Like, I was, like, cruised into that. Like, my body just felt so much better, less beat up as well, being able to eat more food. So, pretty much for, like, this year, or September, when they do the APL comp, pretty much, go eat as much as I can, put on some size, keep healthy. That's just the one comp we're probably looking at doing, just that one. I haven't got no goal or anything for it at the moment, obviously. still all doing our hypertrophy work. But
yeah,
pretty much that's like the main goal. Looking towards that comp in September or whenever they announce it.
Yeah, you're still smashing through your volume at the moment, but still I'm kind of doing a bit of strength and hypertrophy at the moment. I'm like kind of hitting some singles on bench as well. And they're moving really well still, even in the off season. So, which is great. Like, I just wanted to kind of keep that skill there or that heavy weight, because obviously it's been a while since you lifted anything heavy. But it's always nice to hit it. And it hit that one, like that one single, even in the off season, and just know where you're at. And it kind of stops. I find if I give people some singles as a top set, it stops people from like going off program as well. Not that you would go off program, but it helps keep people like engaged in what they're doing, because everyone's like I find a lot of people get bored in the off season. So hitting a couple of singles here and there just to kind of set your back off sets as well, percentages, you're closer to your actual, you are your legit PDM if we are hitting singles as well. So your back off sets are going to be more allocated to the right percentage as well. So that's my whole concept with that as well. Yeah, moving forward, obviously Zero Pros coming up. There's like obviously where you're sitting in APL on the board.
I think overall in the 90s, I'm like 6th or 7th.
Yeah.
In like the Open.
Cool.
First in the juniors, but yeah.
Yeah. So you're a junior. So I am obviously going to be competing there as well. I'm 4th in the 100s. Tristan will be competing at there too, so there'll be a few of us hitting the Zero Pro. I think I'm looking forward to it. It's a comp I've been holding out for too. So today we're going to slide into today's topic. So recently me and Dean have been focusing and emphasizing a lot on like bench press and work and talking a lot about it. And in the weeks to come, I have an ebook dropping. Dean and I have created a bunch of posts, which you would have seen one drop last week, and there's a heap more coming, just trying to teach people about our experience in bench press. And then we're also going to be bringing out some video content as well as some YouTube stuff. But we thought we'd just do an episode today about bench press and just go through the basics of like what we have experienced in the last 12 to 18 months in our own bench, because I have adjusted mine dramatically in a few things that I do, which I'll go through today. But then also like a lot of that stuff I've kind of carried over into a lot of my clientele's benches, which has increased their benches as well. Dean actually has a very different bench to me. So like it'd be cool to hear like a bit of his concept of like how he found where he was at within his bench, because he benches flat feet, whereas like I bench with my toes up. I tried flat feet, but it just didn't work for me and my body shape. So I just couldn't get the allocated leg drive, but my bum kept coming off the seat as well. So I was struggling with it a lot. And I do find like each person has their own different genetic makeup. So like obviously their limb length and that's going to be different. So it just depends on the person with flat feet. I have clients and athletes that have flat feet, and then I have people who have better with their toes up. So let's talk a little bit first about setup. So my setup compared to Dean's is fucking way different.
Yeah, true.
Dean's got a really big arch.
Max grip,
big arch. Yeah, but it's crazy to think how big your arch is, because like you're flat footed as well. So with the flat feet, it's like so much harder to get like your hips in that right position to get that arch through your thoracic spine.
Yeah.
So do you want to go a little bit through how you set up on the bench from start to finish?
I can go over it. Like, because I use my max grip. I use max grip, so my pointer on the rings, which is max legal grip. And so I always set my grip first, and then I set my feet. But the way I set is a bit weird. Like, I start on my toes and my back, like in the middle of the bench. And then I slide almost on my neck into position. And as I slide, I flatten my feet as well, which helps me activate my leg drive and push myself into the bar. And then I unrack. But I keep my hips up until the bar's unracked, which helps me keep my legs on. So that's a big thing for me, is my leg drive. I'm not saying I can't bench without leg drive, but if I don't have leg drive, my bench isn't as big, because I have a big arch. So I rely on that leg drive a lot more. Like a flat bench, I just use it the muscle off their chest.
Yeah, see, I'm completely opposite to you, because like I I put my feet up on the bench and I swing out holding the bar. Then I, similar to you, I dig my neck into the bench, like on my traps, and I slide back. But then I drop my bum down while I put my feet on the ground and I shuffle them back so they're directly underneath my glute. And then my heels are up, they're not flat-footed. But then when I put my ass down, I drop my butt down on an angle towards my shoulders and kind of wedge myself in.
Yeah.
And I'm not at max grip either. I'm ring finger on the ring. So I'm not at max grip. But in saying that too, I'll jam down in that. And then I literally pull my chest to the bar as I'm coming down with my ass. So my biggest focus this year has been always just trying to keep that chest as high as I can and try and flare that rib cage as much as I can. But in saying that, at the same time, squeezing my shoulder blades together and depressing them as well. So it's a combination of a few things to keep tight. But one of the main things that I changed in my bench this year, which has dramatically changed my bench, and I don't know if you have, I know you don't do this at all, but I sink my bar now. So I'll sink the bar into my rib cage, and just because I sink it doesn't mean my chest drops. It's more the weight just sinks into the ribs and the ribs kind of bring it back up off the chest. But the biggest mistake I think people do when they sink it is they allow themselves to fold and they allow that rib cage to sink down from them bending their arch back down into flexion. And that's where you lose all your tightness. Whereas when I sink it, my chest is still pulling towards the roof, but the weight on the bar just actually pushes into the rib cage and it gives me a little bit of a spring off my chest.
Pull yourself into it more than yet.
It's I like to look at it like a bow and arrow, man. So if you think about a bow and arrow, how it works, you pull the arrow back and the string is like your rib cage. So as the arrow comes back, you're just slinging it back up because the rib cage is surrounded by so many muscles that when you're tight enough and the rib cage sinks, it's going to act like that arrow sinking into the back of the string and shooting you back up. I think the biggest concept there is when people sink things, they lose complete tightness through their upper body and the rib cage, and they forget that they should still be holding complete pressure in their abdomen and in their lower belly and all that. And they let the air out, and that's when they kind of just completely lose all their fucking strength because it's like a leakage. Whereas I did that, but then also the bar path is something I changed as well when we look at the bench. And I spoke about this in the ebook because this dramatically changed my bench a lot. Was I was more of a straight up and down bencher, whereas now I'm a really 45 degree angle, on that slant. Yeah. Coming down on an angle and hitting just below my sternum and then pushing back on that angle. And it actually made the heavier weights now. Last night I benched 152 for two singles and the heavy weights don't feel heavy anymore. And then when I push back up, they don't feel as heavy as well because I'm coming back on that angle and pushing weight over distance instead of weight directly up where you feel the weight straight away. So
yeah, I'm getting pretty similar.
Yeah, you bench on a real angle, but you don't sink. You do light touch. But you stay.
Yeah, I hold it.
You're super tight.
Yeah. When I bench, I hate warming, doing my warm-up sets because, everything's just so tight. Every single set, is, so tight. Because I hold my breath, pretty much as soon as I unrack, I hold my breath. Every single set on a warm-up. It just gets me. I finish it on my face as it's red because I've been holding my breath the whole time. But I find it helps me keep everything tight, having that breath hold.
See, I take a breath in before every rep. If I got two or three reps, I'll probably do one. I take a breath in every rep. It just allows me to stay tighter. But if as soon as I let that breath out, if I don't if I try and do more than one rep with a breath, I kind of lose my tightness. So that's just the perception I've tried. It depends too also, but if I'm doing touch and go, I'm only doing back off sets and they're touch and go, which my touch and go aren't really touch and go, I still kind of sink and pause every rep.
Yeah.
But if I'm doing sixes or eights, I'll do three or four to per breath. But if I'm doing like threes to fours, I'll pause every, I'll pretty much sync everyone and just like start a breath at the start of every rep. Because it really, what's the difference between taking a breath in and kind of losing tension and pushing it out when you have half a breath in there and you're half tired anyway? You're still probably going to get the same amount of strength out of both reps, you know what I mean? Because you're going to be, you're probably going to be weaker when you don't have that extra breath in there.
I just hold it. But I feel it helps me just keep my, because I do have the big arch, like it helps me keep that arch and maintain it.
Keep
ribcage high. Whereas if I like exhale, the ribcage is going to drop that little bit. And, you know, if I keep breathing, say it's like a set of four, like that little bit out each, like, you know, my ribcage is going to get smaller and smaller. Because I like to keep it really big.
2023, guys. I have an offer for you guys with coaching. So both myself and Dean have spots available for coaching, and Zoe has spots available for nutrition. We are offering the first 2 weeks for free if you guys sign up this week with coaching to start your new year. If you want to come into the new year stronger, if you want to come into the new year fitter, and you want to come into the new year with some really solid goals, jump on a call with both me, Zoe, or Dean, where we can set goals with you and we can allow a period of time where we can reach those goals. So if you're looking for a coach that's going to drive you forward, get you competing in powerlifting, get you leaner, help you get stronger and better at what you do, myself, Dean, and Zoe are willing and will do this. As you can see the results from our previous clients from 2022, we had world level lifters, we had national level lifters, and we also had over 30 clients placed this year in powerlifting. So if you want to be one of the powerlifters in 2023 that makes this nationals for APL, or you want to compete in another federation where you're going to achieve greatness, get in contact with us today and we're willing to give you the first 2 weeks for free if you sign up in January. So looking forward to hearing from you guys. With your feet position, so what made you go to flat foot? Because you used to be like up on your toes at one stage too, and then you changed back to flat foot.
Yeah, I've tried both. Like I was heels up for a little bit, but I feel it's not as stable for me because I do use the bigger arch. Yeah. Even when I was heels up, I had a decent arch. I feel because my feet are up there, I don't feel as stable. Like because my feet are closer with the heels up, I don't feel stability is there as much as with my flat feet, especially now because I've been trialing a few different feet positions as well with the flat foot. I'm a bit wider with my foot position. I just feel like my legs are more there as like a tripod stable. So,
yeah.
How can I put it like? Yeah, so, you know, I've got like my foot flat, and then my knees, like, but it all helps me because, especially now, my feet are a bit wider. Whereas before, I was really close to the bench. I just only recently started moving them out a bit wider as well. I feel even more stable. That's why I've been keeping my ass on the bench. That's a big problem of mine.
I think a lot of people find that too with the flat feet, that their bum comes up easier because when you leg drive, most of the time people's leg in flat feet is straight. So you're in extension of the knee and you're kind of like a L shape, if you want to say. And
yeah.
When people drive, the first thing that happens is your bum wants to lift up because you're pushing through your heel, which drives your knee up, which drives your bum up, you know what I mean? So you've got to kind of find that position where you can drive, leg drive, but it's going to push you back and not up. I think it's a big problem. Like we had this problem with Tristan, even with his arch. He was struggling with like his leg drive and his bum coming up also because he's got a really fucking big leg drive. Like he'll sink it into his chest and pause and then push his heels down and it drives straight off his chest. But the moment you take that out, like his bench is like so much slower. So what we did was we put his feet in closer in the bench, but we tilted his ankles inwards. So when we pushed his ankles inwards, his bum didn't move off the seat at all. So it's just a matter of finding that position where you can kind of lock. You can find that your bum or your glute or anything locked down to the bench and won't go up. It'll go back because you can slide along the bench with your, depending on what federation you're in. Most people that listen to this podcast would be in like APL, GPC, Capo, whatever. But if you're in like IPF, obviously you can't slide along the bench anymore. But if you're in other federations, you can still kind of slide your bum along the bench. It's just not allowed to come off the bench. So it just depends on what federation you're in. But if you can slide back a little bit, it's fine. But as long as that bum doesn't come off the seat, it's fine. But yeah. So obviously in IPF as well, you've got to have flat feet bench, which I think is fucking stupid. But, you know, like everyone's genetic, it's a disadvantage. They say it's to keep an advantage for, like, to stop the advantage of a bigger arch and all that type of stuff. Yeah. But I think it's actually a disadvantage to people. Because it's the same thing goes for, like, sumo, the same thing that goes for, like, a wide grip bench, that type of stuff. It's like, at the end of the day, like, everyone's going to have different genetic makeups. So, like, everyone's going to have different leg, feet for positions. There's going to be different sumos. There's going to be different conventionals, you know. So, like, it's kind of hard to make, like, a variance that fits all.
Yeah, it's not one fits all. Yeah, everyone's different, yeah. Like, you've watched some people, yeah. Some people, like, compare, like, this person, like, their styles are just so different.
Yeah, totally. What do you find that has helped you with your bench the most in the last 12 months? So
probably... this is a silly one, but getting rid of the elbow tendonitis, of working on shoulder mobility, I guess.
Yeah.
Which helped get rid of it. And programming as well. So I could program, change the programming a lot, which helped to like change around a few things, rep sets, days as well that I was benching. Like that, like we didn't really change much in what we were doing, like as in like volume and such.
No.
So I moved like days around and then just changed up some stuff, which helped a lot managing.
Like, I think one of the main things, one of the things I found that worked the better with you is like higher intensity. That's why I gave you singles and like a 5x3 because I found that like the higher intensity, you kind of work way better under like a higher load than like a lower load with more volume. So like I was like, well, let's just do more sets, lower reps, and a top single. And that way, like, you're kind of enjoying it, but also it drives more, like, volume, but in with a higher intensity. And you responded, like, a lot better to it than you have with, like, say, giving your eights or sixes on bench, which most people respond really well to. I think that, like, you're starting to come out of that stage where newbie gains is disappearing now, like, and it's like we need to kind of work a little bit more on finding what is, even though we did before, work on what's suited to you, but find what is more just all about Dean and not like smash and volume to try and gain. And don't get me wrong, like obviously we still hit like a mid-grip bench or whatever as well on your second day with a bit more volume, but I do think that higher intensity day does well for you.
Yeah, it does, especially now it's with benching 3 times a week. But my problem is, my jumps week to week, I like to make bigger jumps. I need to really try to get myself to make smaller jumps, especially on those like secondary days, like to make like 2.5 kilos, whereas I'd try to jump 5 kilos on all 3 days, and then it's all pushing it more closer to like you know, higher intensities, and it's like, well, that's too much, I'm going to burn myself out. So it's like make a smaller jumps on those secondary days to prime myself for the primary day. So I can make a decent
Totally. I'm benching 3 days a week at the moment too, so I fully understand. And one thing I've learned over the past 12 months is the same thing, not jump ahead. Like, for example, I did a 10-week cycle, I think, of mid-grip bench.
Yeah.
And within that mid-grip bench, I didn't go past 130 for sixes or fives, but man, I got heaps out of it because now I just benched 152 for 2 singles yesterday and felt like nothing. Yeah, and like I got heaps out of that. And the good thing about mid-grip was like, and I want to go into that a little bit too, was, you know, I've always personally as a coach programmed close grip as an accessory.
Yeah.
But the trade-off with a close grip bench is that you can't really, like some people can't squat with it depending on where you put it on your day. It doesn't work well with like a low bar squat because like your shoulders and elbows just get pissed off. So like we've been doing the mid grip bench and it's roughly like a little bit wider than a close grip, but it's carried over into my bench because of the fact that like I'm more of a tricep driven fucking bencher now than I am like someone that's using like more of other muscles. So even though my grip's not close, I tuck my elbows a fair bit. And I found that the mid grip bench worked really well for me to like build hypertrophy through that same pattern. And because close grips pattern when I was benching is similar to what my pattern is on my movement on bench, when I went to that mid grip, it was very similar. So I was driving the same movement through that mid grip. And then when I went over to my other bench, it would be fucking even easier. But now we've flicked out that mid grip bench on mine for a spotto press because I sink my bench. So our concept is we're trying to stop me from sinking it, not sinking it, but in when I compete, but kind of building a strength and a resilience to something that I have to stop dead so that when I do get that stop dead on the pause, it carries over from the spotto press. So, but yeah, that's one thing with me as well. Like I found that with my bench that if I did mid-grip bench, I wasn't getting beaten up shoulders, so therefore I could bench 3 days a week. So I did at the moment I'm doing like a top single. On my deadlift day, I'm doing a Larsen's press, and then on my third day is a spotto press. So like I'm really enjoying benching 3 days a week, but we just reintroduced low bar squats this week, so it'd be good to see how fucking that goes. Yeah, so at the moment you're just – what are you – you're using high bar?
Yeah, still high bar. Yeah, we just changed the high bar two weeks ago from safety bar.
Yeah.
The elbow's still empty. And high bar doesn't really aggravate my elbows. Oh, yeah, low bar.
You haven't any issues with your elbows at all?
Nah, elbow's been healthy as at the moment, especially because I've been smashing just shoulder mobility, thoracic mobility.
Yeah, one of the good things too, like in this off-season I smashed you with was a lot of overhead work. We did a lot of like progressions with overhead work and just really got that shoulder functioning in like internal and external rotation. You got the shoulder strengthened overhead as well, just to kind of build up a bit of resilience when we came into the harder months of like when we come into prep and the shoulder is, you know, like you come out of comp and you're fucking beat up. Like you were pretty beat up after this comp too because it was your third comp in the year. Yeah. And that's why I said recommended that we do like a big, big off season just so we could like get on top of all the shit that had come up last year. And then my main focus was just to get your shoulders healthier so we could push more bench. Then when we do decide to introduce low bar again, your body like is a little bit healthier and we don't have to go try and fix things all the time. Whereas like we got on top of it now. So
yeah, we got this time now to fix everything instead of trying to push prep and try to fix niggles, slows down that prep.
Yeah. So what's been your biggest challenge in bench press like in the last 18 months?
Keeping my bum on the bench. Like it's been like I've been called for it at pretty much every comp. Like the three comps that we done last year, pretty sure, every single one I got called for my ass coming up on my third attempt.
Did you get called for it at Nationals?
No, did I?
No, you didn't get. You got all three benches at Nationals.
No, I don't think I got called for it, but I think I did get a red light for it. But I didn't get a missed lift. Whereas Christmas Cup, I missed my third from it, and I think Nationals
at
States. Pretty sure I got red lighted for it as well. But it's more to do with my hips. So I've noticed when I bench, I move my hips a bit when I do put my leg drive, which is why I've moved my legs out a bit wider. Stop the hips from shooting up when I activate.
Yeah.
So I use the leg drive almost constant on the way down, but I put it like that little bit more just on the way up as well, to get that drive. But I've noticed, it shoots my hips up that little bit, extends my hips. So the wider position helps a bit.
Yeah, I noticed the last couple of weeks since you've been doing a bit wider, your bum doesn't move as much. But that's another reason why I kind of wanted to push the singles as well so we could find where that point is where your bum starts to move off the seat again so we can work on that now before it's too late at the end of the year as well. So, like,
it's not a problem.
One thing I've noticed it doesn't happen until you get to, like, over that 140 mark like 142, yeah. 145, and then it kind of pops up. Yeah. And I think one of the things that happens too is you don't see it when you have like gym pants on because they're baggy. So like sometimes you're oblivious to it because your pants are still touching the seat, whereas like when you go to comp, you got a soft suit on and it's more visible. So
yeah, definitely.
Yeah. What's your favorite like movement within bench at the moment, like that you've been doing?
Or for bench press or accessory wise?
Just like bench press, like whether it can be an accessory or whether it's like a movement that like a bench press.
Yeah, I'm liking the mid grip at the moment. Yeah. So yeah, it doesn't help make me force that full grip. I can like don't have to as big of an arch, easier setup, but still carries over to my bench. So my mid grip's my pinky on the ring, which is like pretty much most people's comp mix, like comp grip. But otherwise, also just like smashing like back accessories as well. So. Like that back helps to keep stable as well because I use my back a lot in the bench.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
We're doing heaps of back work.
Yeah, I mean, we did a bit of pec work and all that stuff last meso, and then we're now sliding into more back work just because of the fact we want to even it out. You don't want to have it uneven. So we did like 6 to 8 weeks and like the front. Mm. Now we'll do 6 to 8 on the back. It's kind of even it out a bit because like – we did a fair bit of work on your external rotation of the shoulder, which helped. They helped heaps, those drills. And then the overhead press stuff. And then now we're going to like the back work and just really smash the back and get your function and right moving well, which is good. Like your bench is moving well at the moment. Like that 140 you did this week moved like easy as fuck. So, and then even your back offsets, they were like mint, like 115, I think you hit. You got 120 this week. So
Yeah, 115, 120 this week. Monday probably on a bench. So yeah, like the back downs here feeling good. Like they're sub maximal compared to like the top set. Like there's like 30 kilo difference. Like it's a good chance for me to really focus on that more on the back downs.
Yeah, totally. And the good thing about the 5x3 too is by the time you get to the set five, you start to get a bit fatigued, especially with that top single I found. And you allow yourself to be able to focus a little bit more on what technique-wise because of the fact that you're so fatigued, you want to, like, spend a bit more time setting up and just really practicing those reps while you're under load. Whereas, like, if you'd normally just do, like, a top single and 3x3, you know, by the end of three, you might be a bit sore or whatever, but you're not really that, like, fatigued. So, like, you really got to concentrate on the last couple of sets in your bench to get good form. Otherwise, like, you're probably going to struggle a little bit with that last couple of sets once it starts to get a bit heavier and your percentage starts to rise a bit. So we started you pretty low. It was about 115. My point there was I was always going to do 5 kilo jumps. So that's why we started like at low, and so I could do that 5 kilo jump each week and get you up to a point where you'll be a bit harder, but I just want to cruise you into it. Yeah. But
definitely. Because if you didn't load cap me, then I would have just been like, say, like 10 kilos less to the top set. And then, I would have just fatigued myself.
Yeah, that's it. I find I've started putting some numbers in for some people on their back off sets instead of top sets because. Yeah. My coach did it with me and it just kind of like I focused so much on hitting a decent top set and then but my top set I would always base it off what he put in for my back offset, so it kind of stopped me from pushing too far forward too on my top set. So yeah, anything else you can think of about bench press that you want to talk about?
Not off the top of my head.
No, like we'll leave it at that then, we'll call it. So if anybody is interested in coaching, Dean's got some spots available for coaching now. He's looking at taking on a bunch of new athletes into the year that are looking to compete in powerlifting or strength. Even if you just want to do strength training, just contact us on the River City Barbell Instagram page or Facebook page, or contact Dean and just let him know and we'll hook you up a free phone call and show you our levels of coaching and what we can do for you. So Thanks, guys, for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Barbell Coach and Physio Podcast. Subscribe to hear future episodes and join us on Instagram at Barbell Coach and Physio and at Fox.Physio and River City Barbell _Oz.